Well, hello again. I'm really excited about this week's lesson. Let me remind you that last week the title was Beyond the Veil. And that lesson we were told that in the realm of the Spirit, we are able to actually go into the real Holy of Holies. The type and shadow was the tabernacle and then later the temple. But you know, you could only go right up to the curtain that separated God from man. I don't care who you were, a priest, a Levite, you could go right up to that curtain, but you could not go into the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest, only once a year, he sure had to take blood with him in there, and he had to go through all these ceremonial things. And of course, that's a type of Jesus, who is the forerunner, who went in ahead of us. But he took in the real temple I'm talking about, he went into the actual Holy of Holies in heaven, taking his own blood, placing it on the mercy seat, and thank God it's still there today. That's that one sacrifice that has been made for us to sanctify us forever. Thank God for the blood of the Lamb. So I hope you heard last week's lesson, because it talks about, and really it's from Hebrews. This is really nothing new. This has been written since the first century. The Christian life being available to man, that we can go into the actual Holy of Holies, the one in heaven. Now, it's all in the Spirit. Last week's lesson, remember, we talked about John on the Isle of Patmos and how he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Well, you know, you got to be in the Spirit for these things. These are things that the natural mind, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, these things are foolish to the natural man. The natural man thinks, what, you're going where? But we are not natural people. We are spiritual people. We are the children of the living God, and we are able to actually go in beyond the veil into the actual presence of God now. Again, every time I think of that and what that must have sounded like to the average born-again Jew in the first century, you know, what? Because they weren't even permitted to go into the holy place at all, even that chamber inside the tent, but that was on this side of the veil. You had to be a priest to go into there. See, aren't you glad the Bible says he has made us kings and priests? Now, in this week's lesson, we're going to talk about the Lamb's room of fellowship, because he doesn't want you to just come and visit. I mean, he loves it. I love it when my children come and visit. I love it when my grandchildren, especially my, you know, the little great grandchildren now, you know, I'm so old now that Sue and I are so old, our grandbabies are having babies now. So, but boy, it's a delight to just come in fellowship. But see, when we come into the Lamb's room of fellowship, he wants you to talk to him. He wants you to talk to him. I'm talking about the real and the real temple in the Spirit. You come and you present yourself. Let us come boldly, it says, to the throne of grace. And we can enter into the holiest by the blood of the Lamb. That's talking specifically about the real Holy of Holies. Well, just picture in your mind, if you know, in the Spirit, you can go in there. And of course, your Father wants to hear about your day. I mean, you know, we do. He likes to hear us talk. But I read you that prophecy at the end of last week's message. He wants us, sure, we can talk and we can pray, we can make our petitions, we can worship, we can do many things. But there comes a time he wants to talk to you. He says, complete the circuit. You know, don't come in, jabber, 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 worship, worship, jabber, jabber, worship, jabber, and then just walk off. You know, he might have some wisdom for you. He might have some instructions for you. And so I'm titling this lesson today, The Lamb's Room of Fellowship, and it may just be the first in a series. I'm not sure about that. Boy, he is incorporating so many things in these lessons this year as we grow into maturity. Reaching way back clear to 1997, when all of this pretty much started and I was still in the trucks and still praying. And consolidating so many things, bringing it forward and incorporating it now as we come into this end time revival, that I believe we're already in the edge waters. I heard a minister on TV this week, who of course doesn't listen to me at all, but he said, did you know we're already ankle deep in the revival? The waters are already ankle deep and they're rising up. And I thought, he's listening to my messages, because I talked about that a week or two ago, but he's not. He's just reading the same Bible and reading out of Ezekiel. We're talking about the rivers of God. Okay, I've already lost 6 minutes, and we're just now really getting into this. Go ahead and turn to Exodus 21. We're going to look at a few verses there. How this starts out and what I mentioned last week, and this is a little bit of review, but it's really going into how do you get into the Lamb's Room of Fellowship? Well, first off, you got to believe that the blood's enough. You got to have faith in the blood of Jesus, that you really are born again, a child of the living God. That curtain, you know, was torn in two from the top to the bottom the moment Jesus died on the cross. Meaning, he took care of the issue of spiritual death. But when you go past that, where that barrier used to be, it's not even there anymore. But see, it's still spiritual death. And we talked about this last week. You die in Christ. You are baptized into his death. When you move beyond where that curtain was, the only way to go to beyond there is death. You are dead with Christ. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. We talked about all of that last week. So let's go on beyond the veil now, because once you get beyond the veil, you're going to come into the very presence of God. That's the whole point. Well, God has some things to say. Well, how does it start? You know, I hope you heard all of those lessons that we did in the last few months about the good servant. And that's Luke 17, 1 through 10. Really, 7 through 10 explicitly. If you want to have more faith, you're going to have to become a servant with the same kind of heart that Jesus had. His heart has to beat in you. You have to begin thinking with his thoughts, seeing with his eyes, hearing with his ears. Because when you do that, you're going to touch with his anointing. Glory to God. Now we're talking revival. But it begins in the Lamb's Room of Fellowship. So I hope you found Exodus 21. This is such a type and a shadow for us today. And let me give you a little context. In this chapter, God is giving Moses instruction about Hebrew slaves. And there were, you know, somebody might make a mistake and get into debt and have to sell themselves in order to pay off that debt. That's one way it could happen. But if you had a Hebrew slave, the law was you could only keep him as a slave for 6 years. At the beginning of the seventh year, you had to set him free. But what if he didn't want to go? What if he says, like we're going to read here, he says, Master, you've been good to me. You've been good to my wife, my family. We all love you. We want to stay here. By our own free will choice, will you allow us to be your bond slaves? Now, this is what that's talking about. So Exodus 21, let's read verse 5. And if the servant shall plainly say, in that word there is slave, it's if the servant shall plainly say, well, I love my master, my wife, and my children. I'm not going to leave. You know, I will not go out free. Then his master, now going down to verse 6, then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door. Now picture this, bringing the servant publicly to the master's door, to the doorpost, the post of the door, okay? And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Now, an awl is like an ice pick. It's what they would use, you know, to pierce your ear, to put an earring in it. And a lot of slaves wore earrings just to show that they were a slave. Okay, but anyway, that's not what this is about. This is about where, listen, slave, you're going to be my slave. You're going to be my servant by your own free will choice forever. We're going to go through this little ceremony, so you're never going to forget where your ear belongs. Your ear needs to be at the doorpost of my door every day. Your ear, so that you can hear my instruction. Oh, man. Let me just read the paragraph. The bond slave was to be pierced through with an awl at his master's doorpost. Now, it represents more than just a simple mark of ownership. The ear of the bond slave is to be always listening at the doorpost for his master's voice. The words of the master become the life of the bond slave. Boy. I'm just thinking of all of the things he has said to Sue and I down through the years, and that has become our life. So many things. Anyway, if I start going there, it's going to take the whole hour. True bond slaves of the Lord Jesus Christ have, of their own free will, forsaken their own lives in exchange for their master's will. See, this is what Jesus said, and you can look this up in Luke 14, verse 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Let me say it a different way. For in light of the teachings he's been giving us recently, you'll never be that good servant. The one that he describes in Luke 17, 7 through 10, where he's really talking about himself. He himself was our pattern. He is the author and finisher of our faith. Well, Jesus was the Son who served. He says, I've not come to do my own will. In the light of this verse, he says, I've laid down my life. I've not come to do my will. I've come to do the will of him who sent me. Okay, if you're going to be my disciple, you're going to do that same thing. You're going to lay down your life, whatever your agenda is, and you're going to listen at the posts of my door, and your life becomes whatever I say. Right now, I'm hearing that verse in James again, you know, you rich men, you think you say you're going to go into a certain town and buy and sell and make gain. Well, you ought to say, well, if the Lord wills, we'll live. What? Yeah, if the Lord wills, you know, we'll remain alive. And oh, then we're going to go and do whatever he tells us to do. You know, if you're an entrepreneur to make money for the kingdom, he's going to send you to cities to do that. Okay. See, in Luke chapter 6, verse 46, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? You know, yes, Jesus is my Lord. I'm going to go to church this week. I'm going to sing songs. I'm going to give my tithe. I'm going to read whatever the pastor reads out of the Bible. I'm going to read that, you know. But then from that point on, the rest of the week, oh, you're living your life. Yet, have you had your ear at the post of his door to find out what he might say to you? Okay. See, the true bond slave. That really, let me say it again, like in Luke 17, the good servant, the one who has chosen to surrender his will to the master. The true bond slave does whatever his master says. And I got does in all caps. Now, this goes far beyond merely obeying what the master has said in the written word. Well, see, that's for all of us. Somebody said recently, and I don't remember who said it, but said, the Sermon on the Mount is like the Constitution for born-again people, for citizens of the kingdom of heaven. That applies to all of us. There's no wiggle room in there. You don't have an exception. Nope, that's for all of us. See, but the bond slave does what his master says on a day-by-day, moment-by-moment basis. That's why his ear every day is at the master's doorpost, waiting to hear whatever he says. Put yourself in the position of the bond slave for a moment. That moment when they put your ear up against the doorpost and they put that ice pick thing right through the lobe of your ear. Would you ever forget where your ear belongs? Okay, I want to be your servant. Bam. there's a post. Bam. Okay, I remember. I know where my ear belongs. As your bondslave, my job is to have my ear waiting at the post of your door to hear whatever you would say to me, and whatever you say to me, that is my life. Man. See, your ear is to be constantly listening for your master's voice. His words become your life. Whatever he says, that's what you do. The piercing of the ear at the doorpost is a visual demonstration of what I have called the listening post in many of my previous teachings. It's what Solomon described in Proverbs. And if you want to look this verse up, it's Proverbs chapter 8, verse 34. Blessed, and wisdom is talking. You could say the Holy Spirit is talking. You could say Christ is talking, because really the Holy Spirit has not come to be your Lord. He has come to bring you the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He is telling you what Jesus is saying. Can I say it that way? Blessed is the man that heareth me, wisdom says, Holy Spirit says, Jesus says. Blessed is the man that heareth me. Now notice, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my door. Boy, blessed is that man. He's the very servant of God. That he is that good servant. Well, if he does what he hears. Now, you can hear and say, nope, I ain't doing that. Got a little more mortifying to do, my friend. A little more prayer closet, a little more fasting, a little more worship, a little more in the Word. These lessons in this season are for those that have already been through the purging fire. When we're all still in it, don't get me wrong, I don't know of anybody that's arrived. Even Paul said, I haven't attained to the mark, you know, but I do this, forgetting those things that are behind, I press toward the mark. See, we're not going to lower the standard, we're pressing. Okay, what is the purpose of waiting daily at the gates and listening daily at the posts of the master's door? And of course, the purpose is to hear him. And I mean the real him, the living Jesus, who is alive and well, and who speaks from heaven. What we hear our master say while we're waiting at the listening post, that becomes our life. We are his bondslaves. See, we are owned. You do know that, right? If you're a bondslave, you're owned. Whatever our master says, that's what we do. Now listen, even unto death, if need be. He told Peter that. Peter, you're going to live to be an old man. But I'm just telling you ahead of time, the day's going to come. You're going to be a martyr for the kingdom of God. Peter goes, what? What about John? You know? And Jesus basically says, listen, it doesn't matter what I tell other people. You follow me, Peter. Gary, you follow me. It doesn't matter what other people are doing, Gary. You do what I tell you to do. That's what he's saying to you too. See, Romans 14:8 says this. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. We are the Lord's. We are owned. See. Paul says, I don't know. There was a time when he was, you know, he was in prison and they were threatening to kill him. And he's going, I don't know which is better. You know, for me personally, it's better to die and be with Christ. It's far better, you know. But for your sake, because Christ still needs me as part of his ministry to you, I guess I'll stay here for a while. That's something. But see, then the day come, though, you know, later on, he says, okay, the time has come now. And, you know, I've kept the faith and, oh, that wonderful passage there. All right. Now, I'm going to refer you to, in this lesson, we're going to refer a couple of times back to some things that the Lord said in what's called the face-to-face documents. And if you're not familiar with those, you can go to garycarpenter.org, and right on the home face page, right on the first page, if you scroll down near the bottom, right in the center, you'll see a link that you can click called face-to-face. Okay, you click on that, and it'll take you to a page. And if you click on the title of each one of those, it'll give you the written version. If you click on the MP3, it will play. Or, you know, I recorded all of them for you, where you can listen to them in your car or whatever. But all of the face-to-face documents are there. Now, I'm going to read to you an excerpt from something that he said in F980826. The title of that one is called Waiting Upon God. I recommend you read the whole thing. But let me read you this excerpt. The Holy Spirit said to me, and this is a long time ago, if you want to know what was going on, I was at the ugly building in these days. Man, I was praying minimum 40 hours a week. And really, when this was going on, it was about 60 hours a week. And it was in that season where I had been training myself for many months, just over and over again, doing what Dave teaches on his little two-part series called Distinguishing God's Voice. And like most people, I nearly gave up. I got so frustrating. I thought, this is, you know, that all those same thoughts, this is not working. I'm not hearing God on yada, yada, yada. But I, you know, thank God O.R. Carpenter put something into me that's been very helpful. I don't have any quitting sense. I just don't know when to quit. And I just kept on anyway. And this went on for a long time. But I finally began to hear him. That's what's in those face-to-face recordings, which I later transcribed for you. But in that one, he said to me, now, waiting upon God, this is just one little statement that he made. The Father is pleased that you will humble yourself to sit and hear the voice of his Spirit as I bring unto you the mind of Christ for your life. It is better to do only one thing each day according to his mind than 1,000 things each day according to your own. Learn to wait upon your God. I will not fail you. I will not leave you in the dark. Whew. See, I hope you remember these lessons that we've been teaching about the good servant. Let me read it to you again, just to refresh your memory. Luke 17, verses 7 through 10, if you want to follow along. Luke 17, verses 7 through 10. Jesus is speaking, and he says, But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he's come in from the field, Go and sit down to meat. In other words, great, you finished your work, go eat. And will not rather say unto him, Make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise you, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, We are unprofitable servants. Now notice this part. This is it. We have done that which is our duty to do. Didn't you tell him you wanted to be his bondslave? Didn't you tell him you want to be his disciple? Didn't you say, You are my Lord, and I will do whatever you say? I surrender my life to you, Jesus. I am owned. Isn't that what you said? If you're still listening to these messages, I'm pretty sure it is. I know that's what I've said to him. Sir, I surrender my will to you. See, this is exactly what Jesus did. This is how he functioned. Let me get back to my notes here. See, the good servant, he considered whatever the master said to him, that was his duty. Notice at the end, he just did his duty because he's already surrendered his life to the master. That's what I've done. Well, that's what I'm endeavoring to do. Trust me, I don't count myself to have arrived either. But the life Sue and I are living, for the most part, is pretty surrendered to the Lord. We're operating the ministry he told us, the way he told us to operate it. We're still making everything free because he's never changed that. Somebody suggested, since they're going to run all these commercials on YouTube anyway, why don't you just go ahead and monetize? And see, in natural, that would make sense. But he told us not to ever sell the gospel in any way. I don't know that he said that to anybody else. I'm not against them selling the books and tapes and MP3s and whatever it takes money. Trust me, my brother and sister, it takes money to do ministry. But I just know what he told us. And he said, don't sell it. Don't ever sell it. So we're not ever going to sell it. And monetizing the YouTube videos is just too much like selling the messages to me. I says, nope, we're not going to do that. I don't care how much money's involved. Not going to do it. So just know that those YouTube commercials are not because of anything to do with us. We have no control. I really recommend Rumble to you. There's no commercials there. Thank God forever. Same messages at Rumble at the same time every week, and there's no commercials. All right. I hope you haven't lost the train of thought. See, the good servant, see, Jesus said he just did his duty. He just did what his duty. Well, that's what he signed up for. I want to be your bond slave. I'm here to do whatever you say. One day he might be plowing. Another day he might be feeding cattle. And by the way, there's seasons involved. Sometimes you don't hear, he doesn't change your instruction every day. You know, I was raised on both sides of my family, many farmers on both sides. You know, there's a season for plowing. You don't plow every day of the year. There's a season of plowing, maybe for weeks, maybe for a month. But then it's time to sow seed. You don't plow anymore. Now you're sowing seed. Then there's a time for all of the watering, keeping the weeds away. There comes a time for harvest. What I'm saying is sometimes there are seasons for things. Yes, sir. Okay. This year, the year 2024, right before the beginning of the year, he gave me a fasting instruction. Gary, what is it? Well, it's none yet. But it's an instruction for me personally. He said many things in this room of fellowship you really can't share with other people. It's personal. It's between me and the Lord. But I'm just talking about seasons. He's never said this to me before. I don't know if it's going to continue past this year. But he told me right before the beginning of 2024 how he wanted me to fast this year, the whole year. Well, that's a season. He may change it. I don't know what's going to happen at the end of the year. You know, he may change it. He may leave me on the schedule. He may do something totally different. See, did you know Jesus is alive and well? And he still speaks from heaven by the power, by the Holy Spirit. You're able to hear what he says. Okay. How are we doing on time? Oh, my goodness. Let me start this little paragraph again. So the good servant did his duty every day. One day he might be plowing, one season he may be plowing. Another day he might be feeding cattle. So, I mean, I'm sure many days he did both. He'd plow in the morning, feed the cattle in the morning, feed the cattle in the evening. And I mean, I fed cattle and sheep and goats all growing up. Anyway, but every day the good servant did whatever the master assigned him to do, and it becomes your duty if you're a bond slave. Well, how did the good servant know what to do? Let me show you a prophetic word from the Old Testament. Now, this one, you need to go to Proverbs chapter 8. And really, it's just I'm going to include another verse with what I read previously. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 33 and 34. Hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the instruction of my doors. But see, now this time I included verse 33. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. I want you to plow today. No, I don't feel like plowing today. I'm going to go feed cattle. Well, you can feed cattle later in the day, but I want you plowing right now. Hear instruction and be wise. And refuse it not. See, this is the image of the good servant, the bond slave, of which Jesus is the highest example while on earth in his own physical body. He waited on God daily and really constantly, hearing what the Father would say to him, seeing what God would show him. See, Jesus himself said this is exactly how he did what he did. So let's read it. I know we did this last week. Listen, it's good. You didn't learn your ABCs by repeating them once. Let's look at these verses again. Jesus is telling us precisely how to do this. John 5:19. Then, okay, John 5:19. Give you a second. John 5:19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son, capital S, he's talking about himself, the Son can do nothing of himself. I promise you, in a lot of churches, you get kicked out just for saying that verse. Jesus can do anything. Slap, slap. But he's telling, and I agree, but he's telling you how he could do anything. The Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. And then you come down to the same chapter, to verse 30, John 5, verse 30. I can of mine own self do nothing. Here we are again. You know, he would say in John 14, he says, it's not really me doing this. It's the Father in me. He is doing these works. Whew. We've taught a lot on that. So in verse 30, he says, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. That word judge, I think, would be better rendered. I make a decision. I decide what to do. As I hear, I decide what to do because I've heard my instruction. So as I hear, I decide, and my decision is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father, which has sent me. See, here's Jesus is the epitome of this good servant. In John 17:7-10, he's describing himself. And if we're going to become a good servant in that same image, he's describing us. I love the Amplified Version. This is what they heard. The Greek language carries much more meaning in its sentences and in its words than the English language. So if you really want to know what the disciples heard when Jesus said this, this is what they heard. Jesus is saying, I am able to do nothing from myself independently of my own accord, but only as I am taught by God and as I get his orders. Doesn't that sound like listening at the doorpost? Even as I hear, I judge. And see, the Amplified put that in here. Judge, I judge, meaning I decide as I am bidden to decide. We'd say, today, I decide as I'm told to decide. My own father, O.R. Carpenter, he'd say, if I want your opinion, I'll give it to you. Now, he's mainly talking about when we were on a job and we're you know, he was, trust me, he was the master and we were also the slaves. He wasn't really interested in your opinion. What he wanted was obedience. You do what I tell you, when I tell you, how I tell you. But that's also why he was the very best. He was the best in town. Everybody knew it at the particular kind of concrete work that he did. So if you're working for him, if you're going to be a disciple, you're going to do what he says. It's perfect. It fits this. I decide as I'm told to decide. As the voice comes to me, so I give a decision. Okay, I heard what you said. I'm going to go do that. That's all he's saying here. And my decision, my judgment, my decision is right. It's just and righteous because I do not seek or even consult with my own will. I have no desire to do what is pleasing to myself. Now, see, that's a mortified person. That's someone who has put the flesh under. That's someone who has been in the, you know, talking about us, now not so much him, but for us, that is someone who's been through the fires, the purging, the mortification, the, no doubt, there'll be fasting involved. Where you come to that place, you're not living for yourself anymore. You truly are a bondservant. Your whole life now is about serving your master, your Lord Jesus Christ. See, and those are that's the remnant that's going to really carry this revival. It's going to go into the fullness of serving from the Father's table, first time, every time, no exceptions. I'm telling you, the day's coming. The book of Acts and the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are going to be seen again on the earth. The blind will see, the lame will walk, the deaf will hear, the maimed will be made whole. I'm telling you, you're going in services, legs are going to grow out, arms are going to grow out. And he says, even things beyond what's written there, greater things are even going to happen. And you're going to be right in the middle of it. Dave would say, don't give up. Don't get discouraged. You're going to be a happy camper. When it's your hand on that little blind child and those white eyes, when you pray, those white eyes, suddenly a pupil develops and that little child, the first thing they ever see is you. You're going to be a happy camper. You lay your hands on that cripple and watch. You be astounded like everybody else as you watch a new leg grow out. Glory to God. Now we're talking Jesus meetings where they get healed first time, every time, no exceptions. Glory to God. My decisions are correct, just, and righteous. I do because I do not seek or even consult my own will. That's a transformed person. I have no desire to do what is pleasing to myself, my own aim, or my own purpose. He is a surrendered to the Master, but only the will and pleasure of the Father who sent me. That's what Jesus said, we would say, but only the will and pleasure of Christ who sent me. See, in John 17, Jesus said, Father, as thou hast sent me, so I am sending them. He would say about you, I am sending you. See, he had fellowship, a living fellowship with God. And did you know that same fellowship is part of our inheritance? That's exactly, we're supposed to be hearing like that from Jesus, clearly by the agency of the Holy Spirit. And that's how we know what to do. Here's another excerpt. Now, this is from another one of those face-to-face documents. This one is from F980821. The title is Becoming a Vessel of Light. And I did two different excerpts from this one. Okay. Hearken, heed, know, and understand that within a few short days, you shall enter into a new room of fellowship with the Lord. Now, this was back in 1998. This was at the Ugly Building. This was when I had practiced and learned to discern the voice of the Holy Spirit within me. Remember all those lessons by Dave that are so wonderful? When he, in the early days, he was wanting to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, and he would go to those that seemed to have more anointing than him in the early days, and he would ask them. He says, "Well, how do you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit? Do you hear it here? You remember these lessons? You know, and Dave would go, no, no." They'd say, no, it's deep. It's very deep, you know. Okay, maybe from this area, that's deep. You know? Maybe from the belly button area. Dave was so funny. But what he was trying to convey to us, it took a while for himself to learn to distinguish the voice of the Holy Spirit. But thank God he taught us how he did it. And again, I recommend to you, go to DaveRoberson.org. Click on the series. Scroll down those series till you come to Distinguishing God's Voice. There is a two-message series, just two messages. You'll learn exactly to do it. This is how you do it. And you can discern the voice of the Holy Spirit. But as I'm telling you, my brother and sister, it's going to take some time. Not every voice that speaks out there is the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you right now, your flesh has a voice. Demons have a voice. You're going to have to learn to discern it. Now, seeing right there, I'm hearing the trips. You're going to have to take your trips to the barbershop like everybody else. What do you mean trips to the barbershop? Just in case you never heard Dave teach this, he tells us a little story, you know. There's somebody that heard Dave teach about spending time and learning to discern the voice of God. So Dave would tell it like this. I'll just tell it like Dave told it. So this little believer would come to me and they'd say, Pastor Dave, I did what you taught. Really? Yes, and I heard God. You did? Well, what did he tell you? He told me to go down to the barber shop at 2:00 in the afternoon. There'd be somebody sitting in the barber chair and I'm supposed to witness to him and he will get born again. Wonderful, Dave would say. Well, did you do what you heard? Brother Dave, I did, but I have a question. What? Why? Well, because I went to the barber shop at 2:00 in the afternoon and the barber shop was closed. There was nobody there. There was nobody sitting in a chair. Why? And then he said, well, what's your question? My question is, why would God send me to the barber shop at 2:00 in the afternoon when he knew that it would be closed? And the answer, we don't like it, but here's the answer. That wasn't him that sent you. That wasn't his voice. You have not yet to discern the voice. You have not yet learned to discern, to distinguish his voice. Back to the prayer closet. But see, we've all taken our trips to the barbershop. Dave talks about his trips to the barbershop. If you don't ever act on it, you're not ever going to learn. Okay? Now, don't do anything. Don't jump off the temple. See, there's a voice. Jesus heard that voice. It wasn't a voice of the Holy Spirit. It was Satan with his voice, which recorded for us, but he was trying to get Jesus. And he was twisting scripture even to do it. See, that's why you don't take scripture out of context. Well, if you're the Son of God, just climb up on the pinnacle of the temple and jump off. The angels, they'll keep you from, you know, the angels, they'll keep you from dying, you know, splatter. But he was taking verses out of context, out of Psalms 91, that nowhere in the Bible does it tell you to commit suicide by going up on a multi-story building and jumping off and trusting the angels to catch you. I want you to understand that was a voice. But see, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. I'm going to give you a little secret. The more you're in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the more you learn his voice, the easier it's going to be to distinguish when it's not him, okay? And really, even the epistles, and really even the whole Bible. If I still promote, and I have done Dave's one of his other series about assimilation, where you assimilate. Start with the New Testament, but assimilate all the books. I'm not going to have time to even start to teach that. Again, that is a series available for you at daveroberson.org. Scroll down the series until you find the one on assimilation. How to assimilate God's word or something like that. Or meditation by assimilation, something. You'll find it's got the word assimilation in it. Do what he teaches there. It changed my life. It'll change yours. Okay. Today we're talking about going beyond the veil. Well, you're going to go beyond the real veil. You're going to be in the Holy of Holies. You're going to be in the presence of God. You're going to be in the presence of the Father, the Son. The Holy Spirit is the one that brings you there, really, by the blood of the Lamb. You're born again. You're welcome in that room. But I'm telling you, it takes a little practice learning to distinguish his voice. Okay, now this is all in the realm of the Spirit. So now I'm going to read to you another excerpt again, F980821, Becoming Vessels of Light. And he said to me, hearken, heed, know, and understand that within a few short days, you shall enter into a new room of fellowship with the Lamb. And as I have said unto you previously, you shall see his eyes gazing into yours. You shall hear his voice as the sound of many waters. And you shall feel his touch. Gary, has that ever happened to you? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Not as frequently as I think he would like. This one of those encounters was exactly how I quit smoking. I entered into this Lamb's room of fellowship. I still can't tell you what his features look like, but boy, his eyes. There's no words. You'll have to go there. If you can describe them, you tell me. I've heard liquid pools of love by other people. That's a good start. I heard eyes of fire by other people. That's a good start. You're going to have trouble describing his eyes. But one of those visitations, one of those Lamb's Room of Fellowship times is exactly how I quit smoking all those over, two decades ago. It was one a time in the Room of Fellowship with him. Actually, he came with my presence that time in a motel room in Westchester, New York, while we were up there on a trip, a teaching trip. Now, in that same face-to-face encounter, the one called Becoming Vessels of Light, let me read to you something he said. See if this sounds like it might be the time that we are in today. He was really prophesying then about the time that we're in today, you know, darkness. In America, in my 77 years, I got to say during the Vietnam years and the drug culture, sexual revolution days of the 60s and 70s, that was pretty dark. And he brought a revival out of that we call the Jesus movement, saved millions out of that. Well, we're in a I think even a darker time now, more dangerous time now, where actually the threat is even the loss of the nation, okay, as America. Okay, I don't want to get into that too much, but it's a dark time. Where I'm this message, I'm recording it on June the 6th. It'll be released a little later, right at the beginning of Pride Month. And they're talking about gay pride. We're the whole month celebrating what the Bible calls an abomination, what the Bible calls perversion, what Pride Month, pride. We're showing, we're so proud of our rebellion against God. We're so proud. Oh. And the world, the culture is celebrating with them. Now, we pray for them. I don't hate any of them. I want every one of them saved and out of that, where they go to heaven and not hell. But boy, it's dark times. Well, he talked about this hour way back in 1998. So let me just, I'm going to read this. God help me to read this without inputting from me, okay? He said it, a time of unrest, turmoil, uncertainty and increased darkness is coming upon the world. Upon that platform, upon that stage of darkness, shall the brightness of his glory be revealed through those who have spent time in his rooms of fellowship. The world shall have few answers. Many shall be in darkness and looking for light. Vessels are now being prepared through whom that light can shine. For those who shall be seeking light, he is working now by his Spirit, preparing vessels of light, where from the vantage point of darkness, these people shall know where to turn. They shall come to the light. They shall come to him who is the brightness, excuse me, who is the brightness of the glory of the Father as he is revealed and shines through the earthen vessels he has prepared in the rooms of fellowship. This is all beyond the veil. This is where he wants you, in these rooms of fellowship. I said I wasn't going to comment. There will be confusion and gnashing of teeth, pain and suffering. The world will have few answers. They will turn toward the God of heaven and say, "Where is your help? Where is your help?" And he shall answer, "In those who have been schooled and trained by the Spirit and have been molded in the rooms of fellowship to conform to his image." There it is. "They shall be the light of the world, even as he has said. I am raising up these lights. I am raising up these lights all over the world and placing them in my school, bringing them into the rooms of fellowship with the Lamb. I am preparing them now for that hour, which is shortly to come. For those who will seek the light of Jesus Christ must find him through the vessels I have prepared, says the Spirit of grace. Receive my words. They are truth." See, that sounds like the darkness is going to get even darker from where it is today. The world will have few answers. The world right now is, anyway, bragging and celebrating. But I'm telling you, when you reject the truth, when you reject the light, which America as a whole has done, there's a large remnant. You're part of that remnant. But America as a whole has rejected the light, and they're celebrating Pride Month. Come on. It's going to get even darker yet. But we are the vessels of light. And it's no accident that he's having me teach these messages in this season. He's wanting to bring you into the Lamb's room of fellowship. Just off, let me see what else I have on here. Okay, let me finish this, then I want to talk to you for just a couple of minutes. See, this inheritance, what he's talking about, this Lamb's room of fellowship, why did he make it possible for you to enter into the holiest of all? let us come boldly into the, by the blood of the Lamb, into the holiest of all. That's the very holy of holies. Why did Jesus pay the price for you to be able, for it to be possible for his father to become your father? You could be born again, dying to your life in Adam, raised up as a new man in Christ, where you can actually go into the very presence of God beyond the veil. And you can talk with him, you can worship him, but he can talk with you. And you, that's where you become that good. That is the listening post. That room right there is the listening post. That's where your ear belongs, in his presence, to receive his instruction. And his words, his instruction, becomes your life. That's the good servant. That's what Jesus did. And as his disciples, that's what we do. Whatever Jesus commands us, even unto death, that's what we do. Okay. But this inheritance of the Lamb, I want to say the Lamb, of the Lamb's room of fellowship, it belongs to all the children of God. Remember, he said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. We have the Holy Spirit who brings us the very mind of Christ, our master. Our job is to never forget where our spiritual ear belongs. We are to wait daily at the post of his door, listening for our instructions. Then we simply do our duty. Remember what he said? He's just done his duty, what he was commanded to do. That's what Jesus did. That's what we do. But in reality, even as we do it, it's really Christ working the Father's will through us. Glory to God. Now, let me just talk with you for a couple of minutes. I've been at this a while. I've had seasons where his voice just was there. And it didn't take long to get into his presence. I went through a season one time where he had to tell me, I couldn't hear his voice. What's going on? I didn't realize I was under demonic attack. And he had to tell me with a word of knowledge. This is also included in one of the face-to-face documents. I don't remember which one. But he had to tell me that there had been two demons assigned against me, and they were yakety-yakking, yakety-yakking. I didn't know it. I couldn't see them. But there were these two demons that had come that were yakety-yakking, and I wasn't able to hear his voice. I remember Kenneth Hagin one time talking about a similar thing many years ago. Kenneth Hagin was my first mentor. I mean, he wouldn't know me from Adam, but you know, we listened to the Word of Faith first before Dave Roberson become our pastor. But I remember he had a similar type thing, and he had to do the same thing that I had to do. Once the Holy Spirit told me that, he told me, you command those spirits to leave you, and I'll run them off. Well, I did, and they left. And all of a sudden, I could hear his voice. Let's talk about another season. This is probably 10 years, well, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 years later, somewhere in there. I may read this to you next week. We'll see. I don't have it ready in my hand to read to you, but I remember what the essence of it was. I went through another season where I said, Lord, I can't seem to hear your voice. You know, what's going on? And this time, you got to remember now, during that 7 or 8, 9 year period, there's mortification still going on. Transformation still going on. I'm telling you, that war between the spirit and the flesh that Paul writes about in Galatians 5 does not really end. Your flesh does not die easily, my brothers and sisters. Let me say it another way. The will of man, the pride of man, the ego of man does not die easily. And in this time, when I was able to hear, I said, Lord, and I had to go through a season of getting, you know, just shutting everything down, getting alone with God. It reminds me always of Elijah going into that cave. You know, sometimes you got to shut everything off and get alone with God. But he told me that time, no, it wasn't a demon. I wondered if it was. I wondered if I was under demonic attack again, you know. I can't seem to hear you, Lord. You know what he told me? He said, the soul of your old man. You remember in Ephesians, we're told to put off that old man? You know, you're supposed to have to do that daily, right? What he told me was, he said, the soul, you know, the image is like the old man has risen up now against the new man. And he's going, we're not dying anymore. Nope, this is it. You've been praying and fasting, trying to get me to die more. I'm not doing it. He says, your own soul has risen up like Goliath. That's the term the Holy Spirit used. Your own soul has risen up like Goliath, a giant in the land. Your own soul is doing everything it can to prevent you from hearing my voice because it doesn't want to die anymore. Now, you can't command your soul to leave. You got to bring it under subjection because that soul that I'm talking about is the mind of the old man. That's exactly who Paul was talking about in Ephesians, that you got to put off the old man. That oftentimes requires fasting. I'm just telling you. Now, you know, I'm not going to like that, but it's the truth anyway. And no soul, no, you're not the boss of me. See, right now, remembering that old teaching I did many years ago, which is servants upon horses. See, after the fall of man, you better hope his spirit wasn't ruling, because man now had a sinful nature. His spirit was dark. His father was the devil. I hate to say this, but that's what Jesus said to the Pharisees. You are of your father, the devil. He was a murderer. He was a liar. And you're still doing the same. You're doing the will of your father, the devil. Well, see, you don't really have that nature anymore. Once you get born again, you've got a new nature. Your father now, Jesus is your Adam now. You're not really of the first Adam anymore. Your spirit is born of God. But that soul, that old man, is still of Adam, and it wants to rule. And servants upon horses, and again, we're almost out of time, but in Ecclesiastes, Solomon wrote, I've seen a terrible thing. I've seen servants upon horses. And the spirit just kind of walking along. He was seeing an image of what it's like with the fallen man, because the spirit, that sin nature, it had to be ruled by the soul. And I can't get into all of that. That's why God gave the law, so that the soul would have something that it could use. Anyway, can't teach all that again. I tell you what, that soul, the soul of man, the soul of the old man, the natural man, wants to rule your life so that your will is accomplished, the will of the flesh. Now, you're going to get off this horse. My spirit, the born-again child of God, the real me, is going to ride this horse. I'm going to be listening to what God says, and that's the direction. I'm going to be determine the reins of this horse, where we're going, what we're going to do, by the direction of the Holy Spirit. And so, you're going to run alongside as the servant. You're going to do what I tell you to do. You're not going to any way prevent me from hearing God and obeying God. All of these things you learn beyond the veil. Love you so much. See you next time. Bye-bye.